9 candidates are seeking the Democratic presidential nomination, but in Iowa, where the nation's first caucuses will be held on January 19th, 80 days from now, polls show the contest is between just 2 men, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean and Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt. Dean, the insurgent, has fired up voters with his anti-Bush, anti-war, and anti-establishment campaign. Gephardt has deep political roots in Iowa. He's from a neighboring state, and he won the 1988 caucuses. But unlike Dean, who has a big lead in New Hampshire, Iowa is do or die for Gephardt. His staff concedes as much. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson reports.
In Des Moines this week, Dick Gephardt delivered yet another attack on Howard Dean. The subject was Medicare, a program very important to the senior citizens that make up 40% of Iowa's Democratic caucus-goers. In the past, Gephardt has compared Dean's position on Medicare to Newt Gingrich's. On Tuesday, he compared Dean to another Republican, unpopular with Iowa Democrats.
The fact is, we need a Democratic nominee who is clearly different from George Bush. But on all these Medicare issues, there is very little difference between George Bush and Howard Dean. They both support cutting Medicare. They support turning it into managed care. They think recipients should pay more for services.
Gephardt doesn't spend a lot of time in big cities trying to get on TV. Instead, he travels from one small community to the next, doing the kind of one-on-one campaigning that gets results in the Iowa caucuses. Gephardt's 1988 win here gives him an advantage, but he says not a very big one.
I never believed that whatever I'd done here before was going to mean all that much. You can't assume that somebody who saw you and liked you 12, 13 years ago is necessarily going to come to that conclusion again. I mean, you've got to go out and work and earn it.
Before Gephardt arrives at the Webster City Senior Center, the folding chairs fill up with the kinds of voters that make up a big portion of Iowa caucus-goers and Gephardt's base here, union members and retirees. Carol Ingto reaches into her purse and, with a big smile, pulls out a faded blue and white handkerchief.
That's my Gephardt hanky from 1988 when I supported him. I was excited to see that he was running again because he is for the common person. And my husband and my brother, they're all union people, so we vote for the union guy.
But other 1988 Gephardt supporters, like Carol Zills, aren't so sure.
I don't know if I'm going to this year. I want to see if his ideas have changed or if he's still fresh. Part of what I liked was his youth and his enthusiasm, and obviously that may have changed over the years. I want to see whether he's been soured by being in politics this many years, if he's still open for new ideas.
The big question about Iowa is who will actually get their voters to the caucuses. Howard Dean has brought many new people into the process, but a lot of his supporters have never attended a caucus before. Gephardt supporters, many of them retired union members, are veterans. Bill Burton is Gephardt's Iowa campaign director.
It's not just showing up and saying who you support. After the first time, the precinct chair says to pick who you prefer in the caucus, the folks who come in under 15% have to choose somebody else. And it's at that moment where the experienced caucus goers know all the horse trading that's going on. And we feel like our supporters, who have been doing this for a long time, they're generally a little more familiar with the process.
But the campaign isn't taking anything for granted. By January 19th, Burton says every Gephardt supporter will have received dozens of phone calls, caucus training if necessary, and all the help they need getting to the caucus site. But so will the supporters of Howard Dean, and that's why Dick Gephardt is working so hard in places like Webster City.
Thanks all for coming out. I really appreciate it. My name is Dick Gephardt. I'm going to win the Democratic nomination. I'm going to beat George Bush.
Gephardt's issues, jobs, trade, and health care, dovetail with the concerns of these Iowa voters. He's opposed to trade deals with Mexico and China. He has a comprehensive plan for universal health insurance coverage, and he favors agriculture policies to help family farmers compete against big agribusiness. There's one subject his stump speech doesn't cover, foreign policy. But that's the subject of the very first question he gets.
We have heard your economic policies, and I'm very much in favor of them. But I have not heard anything about the pickle we are in Iraq, and while we can bring our boys home.
Gephardt launches into a lengthy explanation of why he supported the war and why he's so angry at the mess he says President Bush has made of its aftermath. But he says until the job is done in Iraq, the U.S. can't pull out.
So if we leave, It'll make Afghanistan as a terrorist training camp look like a Sunday school picnic. So the last thing in the world we can do is just cut and run and walk out, which brings me back to my essential point. He needs to get us help. Now, why hasn't he gotten us the help? Because he doesn't treat people right.
Without changing his position on the war or his support for the $87 billion to reconstruct and occupy Iraq, Gephardt has become an aggressive critic of the president. He calls George W. Bush incompetent and arrogant and his policies a miserable failure. In 1988, after Gephardt won the Iowa caucuses, he went on to lose all the other primaries except Missouri. One of his top aides said back then, "I wished someone had told me winning Iowa would mean as much as winning Idaho." And Stefan Schmidt, professor of political science at Iowa State University, says a win here may not be that much help to Gephardt this year either.
He is a neighbor. He is persistent. He has labor organization behind him. He knows the Iowa caucuses. So he should do very well. But I think it's hard to see what the sequence of events is that would allow Gephardt to do well in more than just the Iowa caucuses.
Gephardt disagrees. In 1988, he says he ran out of money after Iowa and couldn't compete in the big regional primaries that followed, the kind of contest that requires lots of expensive television advertising. That won't happen again, Gephardt says. This time, the calendar favors his candidacy. His strategy is to win Iowa, place in the top tier in New Hampshire, and then do well in the big bunch of states that vote in early February. States like South Carolina, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Michigan.
Once you get through New Hampshire, you're out into basically Midwestern and Western states where I think my message and my candidacy will do well. I think I can make a cultural connection with those voters. A lot of Democrats today are deciding this, not so much on how they see the different candidates or their views on the issues. They just want to know who can win.
This week in Iowa, the crowds are getting bigger and the press entourage a little overwhelming for Gephardt's bare-bones traveling team. It's a sign that the former House Minority Leader, once written off as a has-been, the man who tried and failed four times to win the House back for the Democrats, is getting another chance.
Lots of good ideas.
You bet. We can do this.
Your heart's in the right place.
Hi. I'd like to say that I appreciate you supporting the soldiers. My husband just got back from Afghanistan after 8.5 months, and we're told he's going to have to go back again.
Tell him for me that we all appreciate it.
Mara Liasson, NPR News, Iowa.